Hello, I'm Ros Atkins. Thanks for joining the BBC's World Have Your Say. Today on the programme, we're searching for the most successful multicultural city in the world. And to do that, we're taking a break from the normal routine. We've invited four radio stations to help our search. And they, along with us at the BBC World Service, will be your hosts for the next hour. So it's an honour to share this programme with those of you tuned to ABC Local Radio in Australia on behalf of Sydney, BBC London 94.9 FM, News Talk 1010 CFRB in Toronto and WNYC in New York. Welcome to all of you. And through the experiences of these four cities in particular, we're going to try and understand exactly how a successful multicultural city works and see which one of them offers the world a multicultural blueprint to be celebrated and followed. So this is how it's going to work. Each station will have 2 minutes to state their city's case. Then each will have 5 minutes to quiz the others or to continue to sell their own city. And throughout, Have Your Say's most loyal listeners will pay close attention, and at the end they'll tell us which city they'd move to if given the chance. And if any of the stations start running over time, they'll hear the never-before World Have Your Say horn. So, if you hear that, it's time to wrap up, please. Now, it's worth saying that if you think another city warrants a nomination, that's absolutely fine. Auckland and Montreal are two cities already mentioned on our blog. And before we get underway, those of you in Sydney, London, New York and Toronto, you can contact your stations the way that you always do. And World Have Your Say regulars, you can post at bbcnews.com/worldhaveyoursay or call country code 44 2070 83 72 72. Let us know, is multiculturalism to be aspired to, and do these cities do it best? Now, we at World Have Your Say are not going to be taking sides, but let's start in the city where we're based, in London.
This is BBC London Drive Time with Eddie Nesta and Kath Malandry.
Thanks, Ros, and hello and welcome to all those global listeners joining BBC London for the very first time. We're representing the capital of Great Britain. So Kath is my co-host tonight. Kath, what makes London such a great example of a multicultural city that actually works?
Well, Ed, we've had 2,000 years of practice, haven't we? River Thames made us an international trading hub, and it seems many of those who came to do business loved it so much they just wanted to stay. These days, London's home to nearly half of England's ethnic minority population, and a quarter of the 7.5 million who actually live here are born outside of Britain.
And we've always been a centre for immigration, haven't we?
Oh yeah, no doubt, in fact. Let me start off the top of my head. French Huguenots, 16th century, Jewish diaspora, Irish, Ugandan, Cypriot. Of course, I haven't even mentioned the Caribbean influx, which without them, we wouldn't be here. You're right, Ed.
No, we wouldn't. And that links very well to our guest, Steve Pascoe, the chair of the Notting Hill Carnival Committee. By the way, Europe's biggest street party. Good evening to you, Steve. Why are we so good at multiculturalism then?
I think that multiculturalism is actually endemic in the London spirit. I mean, the London spirit is vibrant and different, and the fact that the spirit is comprises of various different experiences is the what makes us the best in the world.
Absolutely. We'll hear more from Steve in a little while. Kath, you'll have to tell us some more. Make sure you give us the details of how people can get in contact. This is a contest, after all.
Oh, we want to win. 020-722-42000. If you're in London, you give us a call on that. Or you can text 077-86200-949. Already got an email. Mark in Stepney says the reason Britain's the best, London's the best, is because the indigenous people have been completely forgotten. Doesn't exactly necessarily think it's good, but we'll take your calls. Now, let's hand over to Toronto, Christina Chinesky on News Talk 1010 CFRB.
News Talk 1010 CFRB, Toronto.
Thank you very much. I'm Christina Chinesky. Thank you so much to the world for joining us today. I'm a talk show host here at CFRB, but I'm also a second generation Canadian of Ukrainian descent. My grandparents chose this country to emigrate. Joining me later will be Member of Parliament Olivia Chow. She emigrated from Hong Kong as a child and has led an incredible political life here in Toronto. I appeal to anybody who has moved to Toronto, and there are thousands and thousands of you, to call in and be part of the program, all the immigrants, new and otherwise, and tell the world why you chose Toronto. 416-872-1010, star 8255, or of course you can email me directly, cc at CFRB.com. You know, guys, it's so simple to say that Toronto has no choice but to emerge victorious as most multicultural city, because what this city really is all about is the people. And it shouldn't surprise anyone that the name Toronto comes from a Huron word meaning meeting place. So that's exactly what it is. It's a multicultural meeting place for more than 4.5 million, home to more than 70 different nationalities, speaking some 100 different languages. It's a multi-ethnic gathering that's given Toronto a really exciting, awesome energy. It's created wonderful neighborhoods like Little Italy to Little India, the Ukrainian village, Little Portugal, from Greek town to Cabbage town, from one Chinatown to the next. Every country in the world has its own cultural uniqueness, but what makes Canada and Toronto even more unique, everybody, than other countries is the fact that it is a melting pot of many cultures. And when these cultures get together, we celebrate. And we're going to celebrate today when I give out the phone numbers and we emerge victorious. 416-872-1010, Star Talk, Star 8255, 1-800-561-CFRB, or email me, cc@cfrb.com. Let's go to Sydney right now with Rod Quinn at ABC Local Radio across Australia.
Overnights with Rod Quinn on ABC Local Radio.
And thank you very much, Toronto, and thanks very much to the BBC World Service for letting us be part of your big event. I've got Lex Marinos with me as well. Good morning, Lex.
Kalimera.
And Lex is not only a well-known actor, director, sports fanatic, but member of the Australia Council for the Arts and very much a part of Sydney's great multicultural melting pot. I think we'll hear that word a lot today. But rather than Lex and I speaking, let's hear actually from the people of Sydney, the children of Sydney.
Ni hao. Malo lele.
Stasi.
Konnichiwa.
Guten Tag.
Tunga tieta.
Shlame lechum.
Salut.
Konnichiwa.
Bonjour.
Kia ora.
Kumastra.
Panya.
Gamang.
Annyeonghaseyo.
Namaste.
Hello.
We are one, but we are many, and from all
Iran, Japan,
Greece,
Turkish,
Lebanon,
Germany,
Albania,
Iraq.
What do you love about living in Sydney?
When we have friends, they can teach us their languages and we can know how to speak their language.
I like living in Sydney because you can make friends with other people and they can tell you about their culture.
And we can like share our different cultural foods and like we get to know what it's like in other countries as well.
We have 62 different countries of origin that our kids and families come from. Predominantly, we have 98% of our students that attend this school have family backgrounds other than English. But the important part is we all identify as Australians.
I am, you are, we are Australia. Hello from Sydney.
The children of the Blaxall Street Public School at Granville. We will hear more later on why Sydney is the number one multicultural city in the world. But now we go to New York City, WNYC, and Leonard Lapote.
You're listening to The Leonard Lapote Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
And I'm pleased to be talking to you from the world's first melting pot. Joining me is Madalika Kandelwell, who is an urban studies professor at Queens College. Madalika, is New York the most diverse city?
New York is definitely the most diverse city, not only because there are so many languages, hundreds of them, and so many nationalities, that we actually, you know, can't just stop counting. There's so many of them. But besides that, it's very exciting because all these nationalities and languages and religions and cultures, they live with each other. We don't divide ourselves by ethnic blocks and all that.
How is that reflected in the teachers, in the classes that you teach at Queen's College?
Well, I often say, and it's true, that my classes and our students are a microcosm of New York City. And it is virtually a lesson in geography in the globe to know about our students' nationalities.
One of the things I find most interesting is that over half of the city council of New York is non-white. The people not only come here, but they have real political opportunity. And that's been reflected in the mayors of my lifetime, Irish, Italian, Jewish, Black. We've had the full spectrum. I think that anybody who's been to Queens, your borough, knows that New York has to be considered the most diverse city in the world.
Right. And many, many neighborhoods in areas like Queens are virtual United Nations. You can see all these cultures and nationalities there. But also, as you mentioned, there are immigrants who are very excited about being in the city because they can participate in the city.
And that's our case for now. We'll get back with another chance later. Roz Atkins, back in London now.
Leonard, many thanks to you at WNYC and, of course, to the other three stations as well. Chris in LA's just emailed us, says, a horn? You have a horn? Where's the world have your say kazoo? Chris, I'm sorry, we didn't get as far as sorting that out before the show. Now, if you're just joining us, this is the BBC's World Have Your Say, and today we're trying to find the city which offers the world a blueprint for a multicultural society. We've just heard the cases for London, New York, Sydney and Toronto, and all of you listening are going to be judging them. If you want to comment right now, you can post at bbcnews.com/worldhaveyoursay or text us from your phone on country code 44 7786 206080. Anna from the World Have Your Say team is here in the studio monitoring all of your messages.
Well, Jerry emailed earlier on to say, I'm a DR Congo citizen living in Kenya. I think London should win amongst all the others. I've been in Sydney and London, and I can say London is by far the most diverse city in the world, and I've never felt discriminated for all the lengths of my English stays. And Seth writes, Sydney is in my opinion, is one of the least multicultural cities in the world. Citizens are openly racist. My vote goes to New York, solely based on the variety of food one can find there.
I think Carla agrees. She writes, the whole world is in New York, and for the people who love to live here, it's the most kaleidoscopic, uproarious, wide-open city in the world. Every language is here, every religion, every tradition. Well, thanks to all of you for getting in touch. We'll hear some more of your messages in a moment. So we've heard the four stations tell us what makes multiculturalism work where they are. Now they have 5 minutes each to quiz the others. Remember, of course, all of you to keep to time. I don't want to have to use that horn. I want everyone to have a fair go. And if you're listening and you want to join this conversation, you can call us now, wherever you are. Country code 44 20 70 83 72 72. Or if you're listening in the four featured cities, you can call your local station. Well, let's return now to Leonard Lopate at WNYC.
And you know, Madalika, just our daily experience is a revelation when you think about diversity. My haircutter is from Morocco. My building superintendent is from Albania. My cab driver last night was from the Côte d'Ivoire. And we have a call to Sean Khan. Sean, what's it like being a hyphenated American in New York? Sean, are you there?
Hi, yes. Actually, I'm half Pakistani, half Irish, which is a combination I think you can only find in New York City.
And what is your experience in New York? Why would you call New York the most diverse city in the world?
Well, you know, just where I am, where I live in Brooklyn, on my block we have a Ukrainian-run laundromat, a Korean-run Tex-Mex restaurant, and a pizzeria that's owned and operated by a Latino family. I mean, if I need a dose of diversity, all I need to do is open my bedroom window and the smell just wafts right in.
And you're also an example of diversity. Thank you so much. By the way, we have probably the greatest representation of people from Hispanic backgrounds in New York City. I think New York is majority Hispanic. We have Dominicans. Now Mexicans have started moving in, Madalika. Has that reflected in your classes as well?
Definitely. And Latinos would include so many different nationalities. So there's tremendous diversity within the Latino population. But also New York City, I think, is truly what we call a majority-minority city right now, which means no single ethnic or racial group is in the majority as such. And so that creates this very exciting drama where so many different groups live with each other and they try to work the city together.
Now, I wonder how many Latinos there are in Sydney. Do we have an answer?
How many Latinos there are in Sydney? I can give you the exact figure if you like. There are 42,506 Latinos in Sydney.
And out of how many people?
We've got about 4 million people in Sydney.
And in other words, a very small representation. When you look at New York, you see...
I know, you've got to leave room for the rest of all the other multicultural people here, though, of course.
Well, we do pretty well there as well. The United Nations is stationed here in New York. What about you, Toronto? Is there a large Hispanic representation in Toronto?
I'm going to throw that to my partner, Olivia Chow, who is also feeding in on this one. Olivia, do you remember the numbers of Latinos here in Toronto?
Well, there's a huge number. I can look that up, but it's not just Latino. It's we have a little Italy, a little Portugal, Korean, Chinese.
As does New York.
In fact, have the largest Greek. We have the largest Greek, second largest Greek city in the world, and third largest Italian city.
Well, we have a pretty good Italian representation here as well. We have three Chinatowns, Madalika. What about South Asians?
Well, South Asians are actually spread all over New York City. And when you talk about three Chinatowns, what is most interesting is that within the Chinatowns, you have populations that are not Chinese. For example, you can find Afghanis living within Flushing itself. So it's not so much that there are all these different little Italies and little Chinatowns, but there are complex populations living in the same areas.
Let's bring in Amy. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Leonard. I just want to cast my vote for New York. I am a native New Yorker, but I'm actually living in London this past year, even though I was born in Hong Kong. And from my experiences here in London so far, I've personally encountered a bit of discrimination during my 18 years in New York. I've never felt uncomfortable or made to feel aware of my ethnicity. And I don't think this makes London not multicultural, but acceptance and tolerance are really important, and I think New York exhibits more of those qualities.
And you feel, I would think that most ethnic groups feel very comfortable in New York. New York has a long history of tolerance. It's one of the reasons why so many people have come here. When you look at Africa, for example, there are many Africans in London, but they're mostly from the Commonwealth countries. We get the Commonwealth countries. We also get the former French colonies, the former Portuguese colonies, etc. Madalika, what about from South Asia?
Well, South Asians, they have so many languages, so even though, you know, they are pretty large in New York City, but they are one of the many, many groups that you find in New York City. And also, I think the main point here is about how does multicultural cities work, how successful they are. And I think New York City works very well as a multicultural city. And there are many, many examples to prove that.
And we go now to Rod Quinn in Sydney to make the Australian case.
Thank you very much, Leonard. I appreciate your words about New York City. I've got to say, though, Lex Marinos, I think we've got it won here in Sydney. There's no doubt about it. Tell me why you think Sydney is the most successful multicultural city in the world.
Well, I guess because we've been able to manage the vast changes that we've undertaken as a very young country and as the oldest city in that young country, in a sense. And most of those changes have happened, while they happened gradually initially, have happened at the time when the world itself has been changing more rapidly than we've ever known it. So it's impacted in a more visceral way upon our population. I don't think it's quite had the length of history to become entrenched to quite the extent that I get the feeling that some of the communities in maybe in London and New York have become entrenched and that a cross-cultural thing doesn't seem quite so well facilitated in and dysfunctional in some areas. So I think it's the freshness of our vision. I think plus the fact we have a harbour.
I think that's a massive advantage for Sydney. Let me tell you a little bit about Sydney for those who haven't been here, and I would say many of the people who think that Sydney is not the most multicultural city in the world have never been here. We have a premier who is Italian. We have a governor of New South Wales who is Lebanese. So there you go. That makes us very multicultural. Unlike North America or London, people must choose to come here. We don't have a whole lot of Europeans going to London like they have in London. And a lot of people coming from the Caribbean and Central America going to New York, people actually choose. They want to come and live in Sydney. We've got a TV network devoted totally to multicultural issues. That's 70 languages a week on SBS TV. 40% of the population have at least one parent born outside Australia. The city of Sydney itself, a majority of residents are born elsewhere. Elsewhere in Sydney, we've got 33% of the population born overseas, which is the seventh largest percentage in the world. People from every country on earth live in Sydney. Now, I mean, I hear that Toronto has 70 nationalities. I mean, that sounds to me I mean, Sydney has two or three times that number of nationalities. We've got a growing number of non-Christian religions here. The fastest growing in Australia is Buddhist. It's the gay capital of the world. Let's never forget that the Mardi Gras is a massive part of Sydney life every year. So no one's mentioned that part of culture. And it's the only major city in the world that has and supports four major football codes: rugby league, rugby union, soccer, and Australian rules. I can't hear that in Toronto, New York, and in London. Let's know and now go to one of our regular callers, George, in Sydney. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Rod. Yes, there is no contest. I mean, you forgot to mention our fabulous beaches where we can all sort of sit in our swimming costumes, oblivious of all the trappings of class and colour. We just sit there absorbing the beautiful rays of the sun as the waves lap. And, you know, most of our beaches are within easy commute of for our people. As you know, sort of Toronto, I think, even in summer, is not exactly the swimming capital of the world. Neither is London or New York. I must say that you must remember also in the political sphere, we've got APEC Forum, the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum, coming to Sydney in the next couple of weeks, which is an initiative of one of our previous prime ministers. He managed to get all those nations from around the Pacific Rim together, something that they said would never be done, was impossible, but that was done through their multicultural spirit. And I know multiculturalism theoretically started in Canada in 1971, but that was because of the French problem in Quebec. Australia started a couple of years later just purely because we wanted to have a format where we could bring all our people together. And let it not be forgotten that the 1956 Olympics in Melbourne, the Friendly Games, a Chinese student, an Australian student of Chinese descent, Johnny Wing, had the wonderful idea of the closing ceremony of getting all the athletes to mingle together as a global community of athletes, not with any, under any national flags. And that was, of course, brilliantly taken up by the 2000 Sydney Olympics, which were, again, considered the best games ever. And when Mr. Samaranch said that, he really meant it, unlike other sort of games which have been called that. And, of course, that's just pure protocol.
Okay, George, thank you very much for your thoughts. Steve says that New Yorkers need to stop shooting each other. Toronto took its name from a place near Newcastle in Sydney, and London's claim to fame is that they named their streets after the Monopoly Board. So how you can claim to be the most multicultural, I'm not sure. Lex, I think everyone, they've got to vote for Sydney, surely.
Well, for me, there's certainly the argument about the four football teams. I mean, and there is even, believe it or not, there's an American football team here as well.
Exactly right.
That plays, there's a competition here. So I think that is the clincher. And when you realise that, gee, if you combine the talents of all of those four football teams into one, how could they lose?
And good luck Toronto and New York ever getting an Olympics. Unlikely to happen. Roz, thanks very much.
Rod, thank you very much for the moment. An anonymous text here from someone's mobile phone saying the best multicultural place is my native village, Korolevo, in Ukraine. You may have to justify that a little bit more. Andy in San Diego says New York should be a clear loser in this competition. Immigrant communities are not celebrated, but looked upon as ghettos. Those of you listening on WNYC, do you agree with that? Andrew says, how many of the investment, banking, legal and financial positions in New York are held by minorities? We'd like an answer to that as well. Michael in Holland's just texted, Sydney, you've got to be kidding. And Bryony's got a question for all of you. She says, I'd like to hear the cities involved describing how they include their indigenous peoples. If you want to join this conversation online, do go to bbcnews.com/worldhaveyoursay, and we'll keep on talking in a couple of minutes.
You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Madalika, what's your response to that caller from San Diego who said New York is just a series of ghettos?
Well, first of all, New York City is the most exciting city for immigrants. And immigrants really feel a part of New York City. I have been an immigrant myself, and immigrants think they own the city, really. About more than one-third of New York City is foreign-born, and if you add the number of their children in that, about two-thirds of New York City is now coming from different cultures and so on and so forth. And if you just go around New York City, the neighborhoods are full of this buzz about opening new businesses, and this is now percolating into political representation as well.
We go to a caller. Patrick, hi, you're on the air. Patrick?
Yes, son.
Yes, hi, you're on the air.
All right, thank you.
What did you want to say about New York as a multicultural city?
Yeah, I think the dollar is a great equalizer in New York. I work on Wall Street, in IT, And we have every nationality working there, Pakistani, Indian, Chinese, Russian. And I think just historically, New York has been known for economic opportunity. People come here to get money, and it's a great equalizer. I think that people do very well here, and it's a big attraction, and things like religion and race become secondary.
Thank you so much, Patrick. Carolina, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you, Leonard?
I'm well, and you?
I'm fine. I dare any of the other cities to come up with this, you know, incredibly specific ethnic job niche. In New York, especially in Brooklyn, the brownstone rehabilitation companies are completely dominated by Bangladeshis. Now, I don't think there's any brownstones in Bangladesh, and I'm still not quite sure how that happened, but every time that I see a brownstone being, you know, fixed up, the company is Bangladeshi.
Thank you so much, Caroline. And by the way, we can't compete probably in rugby, but we do pretty well in sports. And I didn't know this was a competition to get the Olympics, Madalika. There are some odd arguments that are being offered by other cities, and we'll probably hear a few more. But right now, back to Roz.
Hello, I'm Roz Atkins from World Have Your Say. We're broadcasting around the world on the BBC, and for today's special edition of the show, on these four stations.
This is Eddie Nesta and Kath Malandry, weekdays 5 till 7.
On BBC London 94.9.
News Talk 1010, CFRB, Toronto.
Overnights on ABC Local Radio.
Listening to the Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Well, we're delighted, those of you listening to ABC Local Radio in Australia, BBC London 94.9 FM, News Talk 1010 CFRB in Toronto, and WNYC in New York are joining us for our search for the world's most successful multicultural city. This from a lock in the United States on the email. I was born in Calcutta, but have lived in London and also cities in Europe during my college years. I also lived in Toronto for a long time, but when I came to New York, I realized that I had truly come to a multicultural city, the best one in the world, a true melting pot. I love New York. If you want to do what a lock did and get in touch, message us on the blog, bbcnews.com/worldhaveyoursay, and my colleague is keeping an eye on your messages.
Scott has emailed to say the city I live in, which is Portland in Oregon, may not be very diverse racially, but it's certainly very open-minded, welcoming and liberal. I think asking the question of what is the most open-minded city might be better.
And Dotton sent this: in as much as I love the cities that you've chosen, I seriously think that a city like any city in Nigeria would still be a very good bet. We do not discriminate and we welcome our visitors wholeheartedly. Now remember, throughout the show we've got four of World Have Your Say's most loyal listeners listening to the cases being made by these four cities. We'll hear which one they'd like to move to at the end of the show. Lubna in Iraq, Mohammed in Pakistan, Abdelila in Morocco and ZK in Singapore are all keeping a very close eye on what you have to say. Now, if you want to call us, it's country code 44 20 70 83 72 72, unless of course you're in the four cities that we're featuring, in which case you can phone up your local stations on their usual numbers. Now, we've heard New York and Sydney quizzing the other cities about their experiences. Let's turn to Canada now, because it's the turn of Toronto.
Thanks very much, Roz. Christina Chernesky here from News Talk 1010 CFRB. In a moment, Member of Parliament Olivia Chow will join me. One email, not so far, we've got dozens and dozens. One person says, Toronto's coat of arms states diversity, our strength. Unless the melting pots in other countries, unlike the melting pots in other countries, we allow people from all cultures to practice as they wish. Let's hear from our mayor, David Miller.
Hello, it's Mayor David Miller. Toronto is the world's most diverse city, first of all, because it is. Statistically, more than half of Torontonians are immigrants. About half are from diverse backgrounds. Literally, people from every single country in the world live in Toronto. To call it the world's most diverse city is about more than just the statistics. It's really about who we are as a people. Everyone or their parents or grandparents understands what it's like to be a newcomer. So people are welcome. No accident, for example, that Toronto was the first place in the world to legalize same-sex marriage. That's an expression of our values, that every single person is welcome in this city. And we also celebrate our differences. You don't have to be exactly the same. And we acknowledge where we're from, we celebrate where we're from, but we all recognize that we're all Torontonians. We don't separate people, we bring them together, but we recognize that people are allowed to celebrate their differences, and we embrace those differences. And you see that every day in our festivals, in our restaurants, in our places of worship. That's what Toronto is about. We welcome everyone, and that's why we're the world's most diverse city.
Olivia Chow, Member of Parliament, it's easy to say that Toronto really is one of the world's most multicultural cities, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Even our road signs have different languages on it. And we have this based on equality. So if you call 911, if you have an emergency, we can speak 144 languages. So it's the public services that is available that can come in all different languages. I don't think the other three cities have that. And we're also affordable. So we as new immigrants, you can actually live in downtown. Yeah, or live. No, live downtown because you don't have to drive forever. Because I don't think a New Yorker or someone from London, you can actually afford to live in downtown very much because it's very expensive.
Let's go to Jeff, who's in Toronto. Jeff, hi. Toronto, the most multicultural city.
Oh, absolutely, Christina. And these other cities are wonderful cities. I've been to all of them. But Toronto is, I mean, the word Toronto means gathering place. It's Aboriginal for gathering place. And the fantastic thing is that we've been welcoming people since our very beginning. In a peaceful way. It was forged, all of Canada really was forged by consensus and people coming and being welcomed. There were not the struggles and the wars and things that went on that you find in other places. And that is why when people come here, they find three Chinatowns, they find a huge Italian community, they find huge Hispanic Asian populations, French, Canadian, and English, all mixing together, but doing it in a way that is so
well. That's
peaceful.
So yeah, and so unique to Toronto, and I think Olivia, that is what sets us apart from the rest, and really does give us the crown as being the most multicultural city in the world.
Easily.
Let's talk about the gay marriage issue, which came up earlier from Sydney. Contrary to what people believe, we have the biggest pride festivities in the world, don't we?
We also have. I heard Sydney, a speaker, said that French is a problem. Well, no, actually, we value equality so much that we, in fact, don't have one dominant culture. We have French and English at the same time. And it's a really evolving identity, who Canada is all about. So everybody participate, and we are most unique that way.
We are. Aqua in Toronto. Hi there. Welcome to the world.
Hello. Hi. I just wanted to say that Toronto definitely has the measure of success for multiculturalism just because you actually see different ethnicities and cultures actually hanging out together, where you have a city like New York, where I've also lived, where they don't. Two great examples would be shows like Friends or Seinfeld, where all of the main characters are Caucasian. That's exactly what you see. Here in Toronto, you see, you know, all different groups going out to dinner, all kinds of interracial marriages that you don't see anywhere else. So Toronto definitely is the winner in terms of multiculturalism.
Absolutely, it is. We go back to the blending of ethnicities, Olivia Chow, the blending of different cultures, different groups. The gay community blends with others, and we don't seem to have the violence. Olivia, plenty to be proud of and plenty to see when it comes to Toronto being the most multicultural city in the world. Let's throw over to BBC London, where Eddie Nestor and Kath Malandry are standing by.
Thanks very much, Christina. Wow, everybody.
You never say my name like that.
Everybody's had a good old go. People being knocking other places.
There's no need for that.
We don't need to do that. Keep it straight. Keep it strong. Steve Pascal is the chief exec of the London Notting Hill Carnival Limited and has joined us. Steve, how do you think we compare to some of the other cities?
Le Homa. Hi. Hello. And wow. That's multicultural enough for me. I mean, we're going to compare and we're going to beat them.
Yeah, you see, that's the kind of answer I like.
Now, you're representing Notting Hill Carnival Trust, but it isn't just about the Caribbean culture.
Definitely not. It's very much about an African-Caribbean experience, but it's a university experience. Everybody comes.
Give us some of the numbers.
Oh, we're talking about 2 million people, at least, over 3 days. We're having people from every single continent, probably every country in Europe. We have white people come from Europe to come to our carnival. Yeah. It's that bad.
Biggest street party. And we've got some texts coming in, haven't we, Kat?
Already this text says, all roads may used to lead to Rome, but now all airlines lead to London. We've got Mark in Bushy on the line. Very quickly, sir, Mark, what do you think about our multicultural status?
Well, if it's
sounds most successful. We're the oldest. The Romans came here in AD 43. They created Londinium, which is now London. So we're a shade under 2,000 years old. The others are whippersnappers, the way I see it.
Thank Mark, you very loving much. Your work.
Let's talk to David in Uxbridge. David.
Hello.
Let's see how multicultural you think London is, David.
Well, with my job, I've actually lived in several cities. I've lived in New York, and I've lived in London, and then parts of Sydney as well I lived. And so, and I know that, I'm not saying that New York is not multicultural, it is multicultural, but what I find is that when you get there, you know, the black people have their own area, the Italians have their own area, but in London, everybody lives together, and you just, it's just, I don't know what it is. People come here and they don't never ever want to go back.
Thanks very much.
You feel so free.
We're going to leave it there. We've got so many people who want to get involved. Lots of the other stations haven't taken as many calls. Our response is certainly what we're going to do, Kath.
Email from Guan Yapping, Chinese listener living in Beijing. He votes for London. Firstly, London's a capital city with all the advantages a capital city has. Secondly, geographically close to the culturally diverse European continent. Also, thirdly, London in itself with deep cultural rich traditions and fact that London remains the world's most dynamic financial centre in the world means, well, it just speaks a lot about our appeal.
Absolutely. David, you've worked in some of these other cities, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been in New York. I lived in Sydney and New York, and I've been to Toronto. New York and London are the two at the top. Forget the other two. They're a joke. But London is better because, like the gentleman said before, we all live in the whole area together. In New York, they're divided. Anything lower than 100th Street is basically white. Anything north of 100th Street is black, Hispanic, and all the other guys.
Thanks very much for that. We're going to have to leave it there. Now, Steve, we heard lots of talk about the past, about the Olympics. The Olympics is coming somewhere, isn't it, in the year 2012?
That's incredible. There's one thing I have to say. One of the criteria of the selection committee was this ethnicity and multicultural policies. London won the event.
Okay, Kath, we've got some more emails coming in.
Well, there was this one from Corey that says Toronto Canadians don't even like Toronto, but
we're not going to do any negative stuff.
We're not going to.
Apologies to Toronto.
Sorry. Then let's go straight to Paul in New Cross. The world's listening, Paul, so we can't call you babe. Let's just hear about how you think we're diverse in London.
Natural multiculturalism, Kath. 2 years ago, I was in my local Chinese restaurant, Hong Kong City, and there was a big group of Turkish people. At the end of the night, they stood up playing the Turkish music by the DJ, and I thought to myself, only in London could we have this, nowhere else in the world.
Thank you very much. Let's take another David in Ladbroke Grove. Good evening, David. David's gone, so let's go to Tony in Westminster. Tony, good evening to you.
Yes, I think we are very diverse now. I mean, the national dish now is not fish and chips, but it's a curry, of course. And I believe that London is a very diverse city, and we are embracing the whole world. And I think we owe that to our mayor, Ken Livingstone.
Thank you very much, Tony. We appreciate it. So, Pascal, you've listened. Steve, you've listened to all the other places. You listened to what they had to say. Here you know, as our expert, how would you compare London? How would you say we compare to some of those other cities?
The second biggest festival on this planet is run by an ethnic minority group in the heart of London, the London Notting Hill Carnival. Beat that, lads.
That's laying the challenge down. Can I just say as well, I meant to say this. We've got to be diverse, Ed, because our favourite meal in this country is chicken tikka masala, followed by spaghetti bolognese. And I don't know about you, but I'm intending, Ed, to go and eat in an Iraqi restaurant on Monday, Pakistani restaurant Tuesday, Moroccan restaurant Wednesday, and possibly Thursday, head for some Singaporean food. Not, of course, that the judges will be from those countries either. You know, no favouritism trying to curry there.
Absolutely, that's London's case. Let's cross back over to Ross Atkins at the World Service.
Kath, I'll eat your food, but I'm afraid it's not going to sway who we choose here at World Have Your Say. But thanks very much indeed to all of you at BBC London. We're getting so many messages on this. We're not going to be able to read out all of them. We'll post as many as we can, though, on the blog at bbcnews.com/worldhaveyoursay. We're also linking to the sites of all the four stations taking part in today's show. Here's a couple of text messages. One from Mohammed in Ghana, who says, I love Toronto because it's the one of the most lawful and safest cities on the planet. Salim's posted on the blog, my relatives living in London have always been praising its multiculturalism. I believe they're telling the truth. Max, a regular listener to World Have Your Say in Singapore, says Singapore should be considered, if not now, then maybe in 10 years' time. And Ian says simply, you've got to vote for New York. But here's a text for all of you, all four of you, to answer. It's an anonymous text. It says, you are all just debating how many of each colour or creed are in each city. You need to prove that it works. What about race attacks, ghettoisation, cross-community projects? Is multiculturalism actually working? One example each, please. Leonard, let's start with you in New York.
We're going to let one of our listeners answer that. Cheryl?
No offense to London, Toronto, or Sydney, but
Where else, other than here in New York City, can a visitor, regardless of their ethnicity, be assumed to be a local first before you think of them as a tourist?
That's an example. And Christina, what about you in Toronto?
I want to do the same thing and take one of our callers who can also regard or refer to the fact that we have the blending of cultures. Steve is in Toronto. Steve, what do you say when we have the blending of cultures?
Well, I'm actually from England. I grew up in Nottingham. I've lived in Sydney. I now live in Toronto. Worked in the U.S. And absolutely, Toronto lets you be whatever you want to be. You can excel in business. And it's very different to the U.K. I don't want to knock the U.K., but there are pockets of racial intolerance, and it goes straight through business. In Toronto, you don't have that. You're valued for what you can do.
Thank you, Steve, very much. Back to you, Roz.
And Rod, in Sydney, one example of how it's really working in that city.
Okay, we've got another Steve on the line. Good morning, Steve. Tell me why it works in your daughter's school.
My daughter?
Yeah.
No, it's her extraction, my friend. She's got six nationalities inside her.
Okay, so there you go.
She's
That's
got
just
Irish,
one person.
English, German, French, and Portuguese. Mm-hmm. I'm divorced from her mother. My current girlfriend's Iranian.
Okay, thank you very much, Steve. So that's just one person. I've just got to point out a couple of things that people have been saying. They've really been bagging Sydney or trying to obviously promote their own city. Sydney, when it was founded by the First Fleet in 1788, the city of Sydney, 33 nationalities on that First Fleet and many Indigenous tribes around Sydney at that time. Sydney was founded as a multicultural city.
And Rod, I'm going to jump in there. I don't want to use the horn, but I'm going to keep your answers very brief because we haven't got too long and we've got so many questions for you to answer. This one's come in from Michael in Holland, but before I take that, Eddie and Kath, I'm looking for one example of multiculturalism really working in London.
Well, Steve Pascal's here. You're our expert. Give us an example.
Born in London, Notting Hill itself. Raised in Hackney, went to school with thousands of different people from all over the place.
Yeah,
and everyone lives together very well.
Absolutely. Sophie's here, but we'll come back to you, Roz, because we've got lots of callers
well,
who want to get involved.
Kath,
in
you say everyone lives together very well. How about this email from Steve in the States? This is for you too. London may be very multicultural, but it's also got a terrorism problem of native-born people trying to kill the other residents of their nation. I don't think New York or Toronto shares that problem.
I think there's a politic thing there. Of course, we made a decision. So did Australia. That's above and beyond our hands. But I think you'll find here in London, people live very well together. It might be the outsiders, the perception that, you know, Muslims, and we are talking about Muslims, are trying to kill everybody else. But it isn't what happens here in London.
Well, Christina in Toronto, you've got a call. Is that right?
Actually, I would prefer to throw it to my Member of Parliament, Olivia Chow, who can refer to that one, Olivia.
We have schools that actually teach different languages right in during the school hour. And we just had a big Caribana festival, the largest Caribbean festival with 1.5 million people attending. So it's a great example of how we live in peace.
Peaceably together. And that's absolutely what we're proud of, Roz, is the fact that, you know, although we have so many different groups here in Toronto, we're trying to keep the peace and we manage it.
Well, let's take the conversation from Toronto. I'm coming to you, Leonard, in New York in a moment because I know you have a caller. But, Rod, I could hear you trying to make a point from Sydney.
Well, this is a very important point, and that is that when the First Fleet did found Australia, 33 nationalities on those 11 ships. So this is the only city of this four that was actually founded as a multicultural city, Not one of the other three cities can make that boast. I mean, the people
Although
in London
we should
may
make
say,
the
oh,
point that most of them were prisoners.
It doesn't make any difference. Are you making some sort of difference between them? They were different nationalities.
And the other thing is that there's an egalitarianism that doesn't take in class.
Exactly right. Not only that, you talk about London, well, founded by the Romans. I don't think the people living in London at the time wanted the Romans to arrive.
Hey.
So
Boudicca did try and kick them out. There is that, but then the Romans came back. But what can you do? It's happened. And also, several boats used to come up the Thames, and people who were sailing on those boats stayed because they liked it here. We're so used to people from all over the world.
Are
you telling me that Sydney is not used to it? Come on.
The time has come to really just talk statistics here. New York has
this country,
64% minority population.
Let me just call time here. I don't want to get the horn out, but I might have to. This is the World Have Your Say horn, in case you just turned on. I've commissioned it especially for this program, but I don't want to use it. Leonard, we've been trying to come to you, so let's hear your point and then from your caller as well.
Well, as I've been saying, New York has 64% minority population, which means it's the most diverse city in the world. And it's also the one where people can actually move up. Carolina, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, actually, New York City, the New York City that everybody loves to visit now is what it is because after the fiscal crisis of the 70s, immigrants came in and started up businesses in places that, you know, a lot of people had abandoned. And I think Professor Kandiwal can attest to the fact that the City University system of New York has been a great way for kids like me to come into New York and go from not speaking English to really just, you know, becoming involved in politics and in civic life and in the business life of New York. So, you know, you really can fulfill that kind of slightly cliched American dream here.
City University of New York is the largest public university, and you find so many students coming in and trying to get jobs after this education in New York City. Most of them staying on in New York City. And also, I just want to mention, there is a city council of New York City, which is more than half minorities. The whole city is governed by the city council, which is more than half minorities. So immigrants...
So that's a decent reply to the text that we had earlier saying how many positions of power in New York are filled by people from ethnic minorities. Let's bring
and
in...
And four of the wealthiest New Yorkers are foreign born.
Yeah, we've got a caller. We need to take some here. Sophie's in... where are you, Sophie, in London?
Hackney.
In Hackney, in London. Now, you lived for a while, didn't you, in Sydney?
I spent 7 years in Sydney, yeah.
What did you think of it?
I thought it was very segregated, and I thought that, especially the generation above me, I'm only 21, were very racist. And I think that maybe we need to ask Rod in Sydney how many non-middle class white people live in his street, because I'm pretty sure the answer would be zero.
Yeah, we've had a point made to us about point systems and all sorts, and there were all sorts of comments made earlier on about people wanting to get into the other three cities. I think even the detractors would know anybody who comes to London tries their best to stay.
Yeah, we've got
well,
a text,
same,
in
the
fact,
same
that says that.
For the same whole holds true for Toronto, Eddie and Kath, that when people come to this country, because it's based on the immigration system, the country is, and when people come here, they want to stay, and they choose Toronto for very specific reasons. Let's go
but
to Len
Christina,
in Toronto. Len, I just want Len to have a say here, and then we'll go back to Kath and Eddie. Len, hi.
Hi. Because of multiculturalism in Toronto, I've actually taken up a hobby of studying cultures and languages. And I've found that this has really changed my life and has really excelled in my business. And every time I walk out the door, I can pretty well speak another language with someone else in the city. And because of this, I've become conversational in about 30 different languages in Toronto. I can hold a 10 or 15 minute conversation.
So it's interesting how the influence of the multiculturalism is on the people who are just
Christina,
who haven't immigrated.
I'd like to just come in here and sorry to interrupt you. We haven't got very much time. We've had Lubna in Iraq, Mohammed in Pakistan, Abdelida in Morocco, and ZK in Singapore listening to the whole program. I'm going to give you all 10 to 15 seconds to tell them why your city would be the best one for them to move to. Rod, let's go to you first.
I'm going to repeat what I said before, which was that the First Fleet founded this city with 33 nationalities. From day one, it was the most multicultural city in the world at that point, probably, in 1788, and now has people in it from every country in the world living peacefully side by side, where everybody... And it doesn't matter what street you live in or where you live in
okay,
this city.
Leonard.
Everybody gets on together.
Okay, well, Rod, Leonard, 10 seconds. Why
New York?
New York?
New York has the largest population of all of these cities, 8.2 million. We have three Chinatowns. We have the United Nations here. We have more diversity than any other city in the world, hands down.
Christina, what about you?
We are a friendly city that welcomes our immigrants with open arms and makes it easy for them to stay there without any sort of challenges or diversity. We are emerging victorious as the most multicultural city. 70 different nationalities, 100 different languages, the best ethnic and multicultural festivals in the world. My waistline can attest to that, folks.
Okay, and Eddie and Kath, the last word to you. Very quickly, please.
Okay, 300 different languages spoke. Let me just say that. In fact, Eddie and I would like to finish this off with you, we're letting the people on the text messages tell you what they think. This first text, why are they so... Actually, I'll start with the point system to get into Canada and Australia. No one can get into the USA. London lets everyone in who needs it.
And Kath, that's your only point that you're going to get. It's easier to get into London, so says one of your texters. Right, let's go to Baghdad. Lubna, who would you like to go and visit? Which city do you want to move to?
Hi, all of you guys. I would like to say that my vote goes for London. Because in London, I can still stick to my original identity. I can still live as if I were in Iraq. but at the same time, I can still feel that I am a Londoner. So in London, I will have two homelands, Baghdad and London. That's why I will choose London.
From Baghdad, thank you, Lubna, to Pakistan. Mohammed, where would you like to move to?
So, first of all, I would like to say that all these cities that are competing at the moment are the hub of international business. This is what attracts people from different cultures to move there. All the cities are very...
But, Mohammed, where do you want to move? Give me a name.
All the candidates are very strong.
All right, Mohammed's sitting on the fence. Let's go to Abdelila, Morocco. What about you?
Well, I think London is the preferred city for me, because it has more cultural heritage running through centuries, enriched by immigrants from other places like the Asians and the Africans. And it is a city of tolerance. We don't have, for example, racially distinct areas as in New York City. So I think London is my favorite.
Okay, and let's go to ZK in Singapore. What about you?
Well, I think I would agree with what Abdelila just said about New York, that it seems very segregated. So I think my vote, from what I've heard, would probably go to Toronto. There seems to be a method of integrating the newcomers into the society there. So Toronto would get my vote.
Well, ZK, thanks for casting your vote. So that's one for Toronto, two for London. Mohammed seems happy to move to any of the four cities. On the text messages, we think it's New York. Anna, on the emails, it's Toronto. So I don't know what you say about that. I guess it's some sort of a dead heat. But between the four listeners from World Have Your Say, I suppose London gets the crown this time. And Rod's not happy. How about that, Rod?
Well, you know, next time we'll have a panel of ABC listeners, I'm sure, and we won't do it in the middle of the night.
Okay, that's a good excuse. Listen, all of you, Eddie and Kath in London, Christina in Toronto, Rod in Sydney, and Leonard in New York, it's been a fantastic experience and a fascinating hour. To those of you working at and listening to ABC Local Radio, BBC London, News Talk 1010, CFRB, and WNYC, we really are very grateful for your cooperation and your contributions. Please do join us again on World Have Your Say. To those of you who join us every day, thanks of course to you as well, and a special thanks to our colleague James for pulling all of this together. And really, we've only scratched the surface of an enormous subject. One question which Michael in Holland asked was, what's the great thing about multiculturalism anyway? We didn't get a chance to get an answer for him, but you can give him an answer on the blog, because the conversation carries on 24 hours a day there. The address is bbcnews.com/worldhaveyoursay. Many thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. Goodbye.